The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, December 2nd. We've made it to the month of December. What a glorious month it is. You can wear your toboggan inside. You can sip eggnog. And if you like, you can watch us stream all of our Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football recaps on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't. Hit the like button. And if you're watching this show on YouTube for our Thursday night football bets, turn on alerts but first, and then hit the old like button and tell us what your favorite Thursday night bet is. We'll be live after the game to recap Cowboys at Saints to look at it from a gambling perspective. Joining me, as he does every Monday and every Friday for the rest of eternity, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's going on? Well, I like the hat. I like the, it's Thank really you. into the Christmas winter season.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the key to wearing a Super Bowl toboggan is you got to wear it like you want to let people know that you work in sports. You know,
right.
In case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, I walk around with the CBS North Face zipper. You know, it's just like, hey, you know,
this absolutely. Is what I do. I'll throw on my like Super Bowl, like it's gaudy Super Bowl stuff. I didn't even notice. Actually, I mean, I tried not to notice. I really don't notice. This is just my favorite toboggan. I thought I lost it 2 weeks ago. Anywho, if you want to see it, you can check it out on YouTube. Cowboys -4.5 at the Saints, over under 47.5. There's a ton to discuss about this game. On the Cowboys side, we do have some answers. Amari Cooper activated. In fact, as we were preparing to record this podcast, I looked on Caesars and poof, all the Cowboys receiving props went away. I was like, what the hell is going on here? And that's because Amari Cooper has been activated from the COVID list. He will play in New Orleans. CeeDee Lamb, full clear. He's cleared. He's good to go as well. Michael Gallup, good to go. Cedric Wilson and Malik Turner, I believe, are carrying questionable tags. But Zeke Elliott, good to go. So the Cowboys have and Tyron Smith on the injury report. Cowboys have their full complement of weapons on offense for this game in New Orleans. The questions then become, what happens with the Saints? And I do think there are several situations with the Saints that we just don't know yet. We're recording this at like 4 o'clock on Wednesday. If we're hoping that we'll get the news about Alvin Kamara and who is starting at quarterback for the Saints in the middle of this podcast. But I'm going to assume that Taysom Hill, who it's been reported would likely be the starter this week and who practiced in full despite a foot injury both Monday and Tuesday, is going to be named the starter at some point, probably as soon as we finish this podcast. I'm also going to assume, and I really need this for fantasy, that Alvin Kamara is going to play in this game, limited in practice on Monday and Tuesday, but I think he was got more reps on Wednesday. The two concerns, big concerns, are, well, there's three, there's more than two, but the two biggest concerns now, I think, are Teron Armstead, who didn't practice Monday or Tuesday with a knee injury, and Ryan Ramczyk, who practiced on Monday but not on Tuesday with a knee injury. Those two tackles, Sully, matter a lot. They might matter more than Kamara or more than even, Taysom Hill versus Trevor Siemian.
Right. And especially when you start going from practicing to not practicing in the middle of the week, that trajectory is not the greatest for anybody going into any sort of game. For me, I'm paying attention, obviously, to Hill. And when you talk about those tackles there, too, especially for somebody who has a running style like Taysom Hill, they're going to want all their tackles healthy in this to really push things along for them, particularly when they start to get into the red zone there. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on there. For Hill, it was reported that he's also taking the first team reps at starting quarterback this week. So that's another indication that if he's healthy, he is actually going to be the starter this week over Trevor Siemian.
Yeah. I mean, I almost feel like we can pencil that one in, even though we need the first, you know, we need the actual technical answer from Sean Payton. And for what it's worth, you know, there's not a lot of people reporting on the Saints right now because they're all busy reporting on Brian Kelly, who is just got introduced as LSU's head coach. Like, I went to check Larry Holder's Twitter feed to see if he had any information on Kamara, you know, because nothing had popped. We hadn't seen anything pop up, and it's just tweets about Brian Kelly, which is fine. My Twitter feed tweets about Brian Kelly. It does seem like he'll play. The Cowboys, I would say, are in substantially better shape health-wise than the Saints, which probably explains why this line, let's see, what are we at? It was 4.5, holding steady at 4.5. The total hadn't moved either. This line was like 6 early in the week and dropped pretty precipitously down to 4.5. What do you like in the game, Sully?
Well, that's the thing, too. It's another thing we should probably note here as well. The reason why it dipped, or, you know, what a lot of people think it might be, is Mike McCarthy's not going to be coaching in this game. Yeah. He tested positive for COVID. The Cowboys, personnel-wise, they'll have a lot of their guys. But the coaching staff, I believe 5 coaches or personnel members were going to be out in this game, not traveling to New Orleans, including head coach Mike McCarthy. Dan Quinn going to take over as head coach. Not true?
Not the head coach. That's not his title, Sully. Please,
whatever it is.
You know what his title is?
What is it?
The point person for decision-making processes. for the decision-making process. This is the funniest thing to me of the entire season. Since Mike McCarthy did the Austin Powers routine in training camp and on Hard Knocks. Like, he's like so desperate. He just won't call Dan Quinn the interim head coach. Like, I did several radio hits and they asked me about coach. What's that?
He's the assistant to the head coach.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's a little office bit. I did radio interviews all day Wednesday. And I was like, they're like, what do you think? You know, what do you think about the game on Thursday? I was like, do you guys know what Dan Quinn's title is for this game? They're like, interim head coach, obviously. It's like, no, he's, quote, the point person for the decision-making process. be more scared of your job, like job security.
Also, I mean, way to instill confidence in Dan Quinn going in. This is a masculine on the job title. Jeez.
Yeah. Although, look, if the Cowboys roll the Saints and Dan Quinn does a great job coaching, and people will be, the streets will be talking, you know.
Yeah. The defense has been playing well this year. You know, I'm sure there'll be some buzz.
They've lost 3 or 4, and the offense has kind of been the problem. You could wonder how this team would look if Dan Quinn was coaching it and Kellen Moore was just in charge of the offense. One could wonder that. At any rate, that's beside the point. But you're correct to bring that up. They will be shorthanded on the coaching staff. I do think it matters. I mean, Dan Quinn has been a head coach, so he's used to being on the sidelines. But this defense has been operating really well with Quinn in the press box. And, I mean, the reality is you just have you're more in tune with the game on the field, but you have an all 22 view from the press box or from the coach's box. And, you know, you're adding more stuff to his plate. You're adding, you know, in-game management to his plate. So I wouldn't be surprising to me if the defense's performance dipped a little bit here because Quinn has more on his plate as a result of Mike McCarthy not being there.
Yeah, I definitely think that's interesting. You know, it's something to obviously think about there. To me, I still don't think it really matters too much. I'm laying the points of the Cowboys. Okay. 4.5. It's not a huge number for me to be like, okay, you know what? I'm totally walking away from this, especially when even if Taysom Hill is playing, and I'm operating under the assumption that Taysom Hill is going to be the starter there, he's still nursing that foot injury. It's not something that is, I mean, again, he's practicing fully. He's participating in practice, but I do think there's a reason why they haven't started him over the last 4 weeks here when they're still giving, for some reason, they're giving him.
He's not even getting any reps.
So to me, it's just, he's not getting reps. This is the first week that we're actually starting to see it. When they were getting blown out by the Bills on Thanksgiving, you'd think that Sean Payton would want to mix it up with a guy active like Taysom Hill, but he even said he's not ready to play quarterback. So now, 7 days later, things have changed. It's certainly interesting there from that standpoint of, all right, well, maybe you're just trying to grasp at straws. For me, I'd much rather take a team that's going with a interim point person slash head coach and a full healthy roster than someone who is starting a new quarterback that could be banged up in their most powerful weapon on offense, and Alvin Kamara still might not be 100%, and then obviously the tackles too. That's why I'm laying the points. I just I can't see it.
No, it's a perfectly fair reason. 22% of the snaps the first game back, and then 31% of the snaps 2 weeks ago, nada against the Bills, which, as you noticed, is very weird. I'm going to take the Saints. Just a lean, sort of feeling underdoggy this week. There's a lot of home dogs, and they'll catch a lot of points. And, yeah, the Saints in the Superdome, primetime game. Sean Payton gets weird chips on his shoulder, and I do think that you know, he wants coach. You know, I'm not saying I'm not calling this a full revenge game. We're not going to give it that designation, but I think Sean Payton is perfectly fine. Also, I mean, Sean Payton, wasn't it Dan Quinn who was coaching the Falcons when Sean Payton did the Halloween choke at Devontae Smith?
I think you might be right.
Yeah. So I mean, it may have been Mike Smith. I could be wrong, but anyway, he's coaching against Dan Quinn a lot. Sean Payton coached for the Cowboys as well. I just think I think Sean Payton builds up animosity for no particular reason, just out of pure spite, which I totally respect because I do the same thing. So I'm going to take the Saints plus 4.5. I'm also, I if I'm betting this, I like the under.
Yeah.
I know the Cowboys can score, but Dallas is going to want to run the ball. Mike McCarthy not being there, I think he's going to be like, we got to give Zeke a full load, you know, get out there and run the ball. And I know Kellen, you'll call the plays, but let's pound the ball. And then on the other side, it behooves the Saints to not get involved in. They can't win a track meet.
Yep.
Against Dallas. If it's back and forth shootout, they cannot win a track meet. So I like that under 47.5. Dallas is currently this is 4-5 defenses overall by DVOA. Dallas is the Saints are one against the run right now, 13th against the pass. Dallas fourth against the pass, 18th against the run. So I think maybe that this defensive matchup sets up okay for the Saints in terms of, we got Kamara, we should have Mark Ingram, we hope. Let's pound the ball, slow it down, maybe some trick plays. So a little Trevor Siemian mixed in, but try and win with Taysom Hill and sort of a rock fight of sorts.
And I'll tell you this too, over the last 3 weeks here, opposing quarterbacks going up against the Saints are attempting a league low 26.3 pass attempts per game, which is something that we'll talk about with the props. But also that makes sense when we're talking about an under standpoint. They want to slow these games down. And we're talking about a game that include, these are all losses for the Saints too. And this is all including, Josh Allen going off last week. It's not like these, Dak Prescott can still find success here, but they want to slow these games down. They're not giving a lot of these quarterbacks a ton of opportunities to throw the football, especially now when you have Taysom Hill potentially as the quarterback and potentially Alvin Kamara back. They're going to be pounding the football there. One thing I did want to mention, though, another stat here, we're talking about the spread, that I just think that it's so stark that I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah.
Dallas this season, 6-0 against in their last six, 6-0 against the spread against the NFC. Meanwhile, you have the Saints, 3-8 against the spread against teams with a winning record.
Sorry, give me that again. That's Dallas.
Dallas 6-0 in their last six against the NFC.
Oh yeah, that's right. Breach points out they lose the AFC for whatever reason.
For whatever reason, they're great against the NFC. For some reason, they can't cover or whatever against the AFC. And then the Saints, meanwhile, when they go up against good teams, teams with winning records, they're 3-8 against the spread.
That's concerning.
So
for sure, we assume Dallas is good.
We assume, yes.
We assume Dallas is good. I think Dallas is good.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I could go into a larger discussion about Mike McCarthy's job security and why he's petrified to name Dan Quinn the interim coach, and how the Dallas radio is like, hey, are you what do you do in times of turmoil like this? Like, what do you go back to? Like, trying to figure things out when everything's falling apart. And I was listening to the radio. I was like, they're 7-4. Like, I mean, I know they lost 3 of 4, but like everybody take a breath. They're 7-4. You know, because if you spaced out those losses, one loss, two wins, one loss, everybody's like, all right, not going to win all your games, but you're also 7-4.
You're also 7-4 in the NFC East. It's not like you're 7-4 in the NFC West.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here we go. Taysom Hill in line to start. This is Ian Rappaport. I assume this is actually from, he said, oh, yeah, Amari Cooper's questionable. Did I say that before? I thought, yeah, Amari Cooper's questionable. That's right.
Okay.
Taysom Hill practiced fully all week and has no injury status. So Taysom Hill should be good to go. Alvin Kamara is questionable. So we will probably not see any Alvin Kamara props jump up until we get closer to game time on Thursday. We'll talk about that, or today. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I was going to say, and you'll probably not see a lot of Mark Ingram either.
Yeah, probably won't see any rushing props. Maybe Taysom Hill pops up. You know, I think on Caesars right now, we have, let's see if they update. I mean, it'll probably be a minute before they update, but you know, we have Dak Prescott. We have Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard. They're good about putting all these up. Michael Gallup, Dalton Schultz, Amari, CeeDee Lamb, Nick Vinette, Marquez Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith, Deontay Harris, you know, everybody, but we're just not going to get Alvin Kamara. It's probably going to be a hot minute before we get Taysom Hill too, just because of how that works. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we will give out some props.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
As we mentioned, props are tough to deal with here because you just don't have a lot of people to work with. And we now think we know that Taysom Hill is going to start. It would be pretty shocking if he didn't start, right? Given that, I'm going to jump on in and take Marquez Callaway under receiving yards. Because Alvin Kamara is questionable, which is better than ruled out. And I think he'll play. But I think they just can't give him a full go. Because they, you know, you want to have room to, you know, you want to have, if he can't go, you want to be able to maneuver your roster such that you get somebody else in there. Callaway is a guy who just didn't, he wasn't running a ton of routes on Trevor Siemian dropbacks anyway. And now he is dealing with likely Taysom Hill under center and Alvin Kamara back. That's just going to take away from his receptions and targets. And again, I really think the Saints are going to condense this game as much as possible. What about you? You mentioned the pass attempts. Dak Prescott under. Falls right in line.
So to me, I'm right there. And speaking as a former Marquez Callaway fantasy owner, someone who drafted him this year, I'm with you on the under just because hasn't really worked out. That pick didn't really work out for me. I was hoping he could fill in for Michael Thomas, who I also drafted. Didn't work out for you, boy.
Yeah, I drafted Michael Thomas myself. Didn't work
out. That was not the best move. But I like Prescott under 35.5 pass attempts. I actually think that's moved around a little bit since I've submitted that. But it's under the same premise there. You know, over the last 3 weeks, like I mentioned, 26.3 pass attempts per game opposing quarterbacks have had against the Saints. And even if you just expand that over the course of the season, it's 34.3. They don't like really to open things up, like you said, and turn it into a track meet. They just don't have the horses right now, whether it's because they don't have Michael Thomas or it's a not healthy Alvin Kamara or it's whoever is under center just doesn't have the ability to go up against a Dak Prescott in that kind of offense that the Cowboys are bringing to the table. So they're going to slow things down a little bit more. And ultimately, I think the Cowboys, too, as much as they're getting everybody back, they're not. I don't think they're going to throw the kitchen sink at this game, especially because I think that they should be able to win against the Saints. They should be able to build a lead and then try to churn out a little bit more of a running game, especially when you don't have your head coach. It's more of a get up, slow it down, and try to run away with this win.
Yeah, I mean, and look, Marcus Davenport is on the injury list as well. That was the other guy I meant to mention, but for the Saints. But you know, this is a good New Orleans defense.
Yeah,
you don't need to. I mean, in the same reason that you don't want to if you're New Orleans, you don't want it to become a track meet. I don't think Dallas wants to get over aggressive going into a day, like a hostile environment on a Thursday night. Massive. I mean, the Saints are really desperate, Sully. Like, they are currently, where do they stand in the conference? They are the 10 seed at 5-6. A win in this game would put them back in as the 7 seed, at least until the weekend, you know, until we get to Sunday. And if things break their way, maybe they stay there. I mean, this is a huge game for the Saints. And we can say that the Cowboys, I mean, Cowboys are the better team. Yeah, for sure. They're favored by, you know, they're favored by essentially 10. I guess it would be, what, 7, a touchdown on a neutral field. But, I mean, I've watched the Jets win several times in the last few weeks. I watched the Bills lose to the Jaguars. Any given Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, I think I like that idea with my point being is that I expect the Cowboys not to be hyper-aggressive in how they approach this on offense, because you can run into trouble going up against a good Saints defense. Zeke Elliott, over 2.5 receptions for you, juice minus 160. But, I mean, if they're saying they're going to give Zeke a full load, then that is probably a pretty good bet.
Yeah, to me, it just seems like it's too low of a number, especially, like you said, Jerry Jones is on radio talking about, nope, we're giving him everything. It's not like we're limiting him at all. And when you look at what he's done since the bye, and it's a little bit, I think these numbers are a little bit lower because everybody's coming back. Amari's back, CeeDee Lamb's back, Michael Gallup's there. This is the first time they'll have that trio of wide receivers since week one. So I think that's why maybe these running back numbers for Zeke, or these receiving numbers for Zeke, are a little bit lower. But you look at what he's done past the bye, week 7 since. It's 5.2 targets per game. He's catching around 85% of those targets. You're talking about that type of volume and that type of catch rate. I don't see how he doesn't go over this, especially when they're telling us, hey, listen, this guy's going to get a ton of work.
I don't disagree with that at all. By the way, the other two, I like to keep it tight on these official plays, just because I didn't even look to see. Oh, we did that crap on Monday, I think. So we won't review that. Sorry.
Sure.
Producer Chris, if you made a graphic for that. Oh, no, we did hit first tight end, first touchdown, though, with Gerald Everett.
I was going to say, yeah, we did the tight end, but.
Anyway, but I was going to say, looking at Caesars right now, they have a ton of calories, actually down to 32.5. I'm graded at 34.5. Don't care what y'all think. Traquan Smith, 40.5. Deontay Harris, 34.5. These are receiving yards, of course. And Nick Vinette, 8.5. I think under is perfectly fine on all of those because Taysom Hill is playing quarterback. This is not, I mean, if Taysom Hill comes out and is slinging it around, that would be a big surprise.
And it would change, the trajectory of the Saints. We're talking about a playoff berth, but if all of a sudden Taysom is a quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay, you're making some noise now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking back to when he came in last year. Let's see, just looking at the game logs. I mean from the four games in which he started, he averaged 209 passing yards per game and had one passing touchdown. I mean, he's just not going to throw the ball a bunch.
I don't understand the fascination. I don't understand why they keep giving him these crazy contracts and stuff. It's just, it seems like they want to use him as a quarterback, but also they don't want to use him as a quarterback. And when you don't know what they want to do with the guy, it's, I don't know why you even deal with it. You try to figure it out.
We'll say that, Emmanuel Sanders had 60, or so they played the Falcons, but that's a bad defense. 104 yards for Michael Thomas, 66 for Manny Sanders. They might have played the Falcons twice with Taysom Hill. When they played the Broncos, oh God, remember that was the Taysom Hill, who was the quarterback for the Broncos? Kendall Hinton.
Oh boy.
Remember he played in that game? The leading receiver was Michael Thomas with 4 catches, 50 yards. That was a beatdown, 31-3. But then they 21-16 over the Falcons the second time. Michael Thomas again, 105 yards. Manny Sanders, 39. Traquan Smith, 42. So, I mean, you know, maybe it's possible that these guys get over on volume. I just don't know that I don't know that that's how they want to play this game. And then we saw against the Eagles, Michael Thomas, 84, Traquan Smith, 60. Interesting. Kamara, that was the first good receiving game for Kamara with Taysom Hill back there. And Manny Sanders, 48, Jared Cook, 37. So I guess it's possible these guys get there on those receiving yards. I just think if you blanket hit the under on Saints receiving yards, play, maybe avoid Kamara just in case they throw close to the line of scrimmage, I think you've got a good chance of hitting a lot of those just because Taysom Hill is under center. I do, however, like anytime Taysom Hill touchdown, they're going to use him in the red zone. If you start Taysom Hill, he's getting the ball somewhere in the red zone. You're just looking for a rushing play where he dives over the top, plus 150. Sean Payton uses them anyway. We could have a Trevor Siemian drive where he comes in and Taysom Hill still comes in the red zone and does that. It wouldn't, you know, he could catch a pass. Sean Payton will cook up some red zone stuff for Taysom Hill in this spot.
Right. I almost think that Hill is bench proof, where it's like, even if he stinks as a quarterback,
sort of like
Trevor Siemian comes in, he's still, like you said, still going to be in play here, where it's, you can have any, and, you know, you get into that red zone and then all of a sudden he's just that guy. They bring him in and like they've done with Drew Brees. I mean, if they're going to do it with Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback, they're going to do it with Trevor Siemian, even if Hill was struggling earlier in the game. So to me, that makes a ton of sense there. Last one for me is Michael Gallup over his receiving prop. It's 46.5 that I have. Again, these things could be changing because Amari Cooper's coming in minus 115. I am not 100%. I mean, I know there's a lot of hype about Amari Cooper coming back, activated off the COVID list, but I'm still interested into how much he's actually going to be involved in this passing game. Again, there's a lot of hype because it's the first time those three have been together since week one, and I understand that, but we're also a day removed from Mike McCarthy saying that he hasn't really been feeling that well. He's really not great. It's not like he's back to full strength. It looks like the old Amari Cooper again. His head coach was just saying that. Yeah, no, he's still coughing around and stuff.
And he's questionable. I mean, like, he's probably going to play, but I mean, he's, you know.
But in what fashion? So even if he does play, I do wonder if there's going to be a limited snap count here. And you have Michael Gallup coming off his best game of the season, over 100 receiving yards. And even when those three played together back in week one, he saw 7 targets. So, I mean, if you're getting that type of heavy volume with those two other receivers, and you're probably facing the number 3 corner on a given team, I love you to go over that number.
All right. These goons moved it down again. I had Dalton Schultz under 43.5 receiving yards. It is now down to 41.5. It's getting a little thin there where you don't know if I want to, like, I was originally going to bet Dalton Schultz over receiving yards and then Amari was activated.
Right.
Like, I liked it a lot with no Amari, even with Gallup and CeeDee Lamb out there.
Because Knox had a big week against them last week. Am I right?
Actually, I looked back at it, and Knox had 2 touchdowns, right? And while you can't definitively say that tight ends have lit up the Saints, there, if you look at the teams they played, it's just a lot of, like, very surprisingly productive outings from the tight end. So I think, man, I want to go. I might flip back to, do I flip back to 41.5 is low. I feel like he gets over 41.5.
He's heavily involved. I don't want to say heavily, but he's involved in the passing game. Again, very similar why I'm picking Gallup. It's just, those guys are still going to be target. They're going to get a target share. And I don't think Amari Cooper's 100%. So it's not like it's just going to go to CD and Amari. I do think that both Gallup and Schultz will be involved.
All right. Flip me back to over Schultz over 41.5 receiving yards. I feel like I'm the goon who's switching all over the place as a result of this movement. But I mean, I liked over 44.5 originally because this is just too low. Like, Schultz can get 3 balls and he can get there easily. And they're not going to leave him into block or anything like that, I don't think, with a fully healthy offensive line. So I don't know what I'm doing right there. Let's move on to first touchdown props. Speaking of Dalton Schultz, I have Dalton Schultz as a first touchdown scorer in this game. I also added, like you, Sully, Taysom Hill at 8.5 to 1. You shop around because I think he's 11.5 or 11 in some spots. Certainly, you can find a good number on that. But like we say, get down in the red zone, pretty good chance that the Saints are going to be looking to use Taysom Hill.
Yeah, and to me, also, maybe just kind of wait it out, see what happens with Alvin Kamara, because if he is active in this game, I can't imagine a world where Alvin Kamara has worse odds than Taysom Hill to score the first touchdown. So that might boost him back a little bit, because I've already seen Caesars move it to 8 to 1. So maybe that goes back to 8.5. Maybe it bumps up to 9. Hill's somebody that I'm playing anytime touchdown that you had. I'm also playing him with it's the first touchdown here. It just makes too much sense. When they get into that red area, They've always leaned on Taysom Hill when he's healthy. And right now they're saying he's healthy. So it just, especially right now, that's good value, I think, at 8.5 or 8.
Yep. And you also have Tony Pollard. Did you already mention him? Or did
I? Yeah, no, I mean, that one, it's more of a value. I do think I like even Schultz better at 11-1 if I'm going 11-1 there, just because, again, I think they're a little bit more involved. New Orleans has been better against the run than they have the past this season. So maybe I'm fading that a little bit, but I'll throw my hat in there to say, all right, Pollard, you know, could be as they say that Zeke's going to be, you know, full load and everything like that, but you know, teams have lied to us before. It's not like it's the first thing in the world. And Pollard's still someone who's going to be a key piece of this offense. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
You get third and goal from the 7, and Pollard might be in there instead of Zeke. I like the idea of Schultz, Pollard, and Gallup.
Yeah.
All those guys at 11-1. Because, you know, again, Amari Cooper's sort of soaking up some usage or soaking up some value there in terms of the first touchdown score. Same with CeeDee Lamb. Taysom Hill down to 8-1 now. And I, you know, those three guys could just easily be targeted in the red zone. Schultz particularly just screams value to me at 11-1.
And we always talk about quarterbacks with running equity. Obviously, we've been doing that with Taysom Hill. It's probably an attractive number, 23-1 with Dak Prescott, but we just haven't seen it.
I don't think they want him to run. I think they're purposely avoiding calling running plays in the red zone for Dak because his calf injury, you know, hurt the ankle last year. They want him. They know that they have plenty of weapons for him to throw to. So it would really almost have to be like a sprint out bootleg, or like some type of bootleg sprint out type of deal where he just, you know, doesn't have somebody open and sees a window. I really do think they're trying to avoid those,
right?
Because they don't want him to get hurt because they know their season is tanked if they do. All right,
I'm totally there with you.
That's it for the audio version of the pod. Thanks for listening. We will be over on YouTube breaking down the DraftKings slate for those of you who want to check that out. But if you don't, you're just doing audio. Thanks for listening. We'll see you the rest of y'all over on YouTube.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.